Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, howdy, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 24th, 2011, episode 213, sponsored today by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what? It's Wednesday.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
We have a show on Wednesday.
It's true.
It's time to go out to the barn. Let him out and work my arm. It's kind of like a meditation. Sort of like yoga, my religion. I get in a trance-like state as I pitch and as I race. The smell of manure and sweet grass hay. What a beautiful way to start your day. I'm 5 foot, but I never feel as tall as when I'm cleaning stalls.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Jamie. Good morning, Jennifer. And everybody listening today who are in earthquake land. Wow. I'll tell you what. You know, California gets them every day. But judging by Twitter and Facebook yesterday about the earthquake here in on the East Coast, you would think the world was coming to an end.
It's amazing to look at your Facebook, and like I'm over here in Phoenix, and of course there's nothing that went on over here. And you start looking at all my friends in Atlanta are just posting, did anybody feel that? Oh my God, we had an earthquake. And it was like every single Facebook post turns into whatever the topic of the country is at that very moment. It's kind of funny to watch social media progress. It's kind of neat.
I was watching Twitter, and Twitter is now the place where stories are breaking first because it's instant. You know, people can type in their phone that they just felt an earthquake, so before the media even gets it, you'll see it on Twitter. And I was sort of following the Twitter feeds from all over the East Coast, and it was kind of fun to follow that. Of course, it was a 5.8 now, they're saying, on the Richter scale out of Virginia. And you know, of course, our sponsors, one of them, Equestrian Collections, is out of Virginia, near where the earthquake was. And also, the Chronicle of the Horse offices are near there, and they all felt it, but apparently everybody's okay. So we want to hear from you this morning. If you felt the earthquake, whether you were on the, you know, wherever you were on the East Coast, were you riding your horse? Were you out in the barn? Did your horses feel it? Were they affected? We want to hear your earthquake stories this morning. Give us a call at 347-637-3238, and Jennifer can also make that the question of the day. But I think it'd be fun to hear from some listeners, don't you, Jamie?
Oh, absolutely. I remember there's only one earthquake I've ever felt, and it was when I was in Atlanta, Georgia, and it was about 5:15 in the morning, because I was getting dressed to go do I was a traffic reporter back then, and so I'm getting dressed, and all of a sudden my shelves started shaking, and the only casualty in the entire house of mine was Man-O-War, my briar horse, fell off the shelf and broke his leg. It was the only casualty that we had in the whole entire earthquake.
Poor Man-O-War. You had to shoot him.
No, he's still in the back, and again, you cannot super glue a briar horse. So I still have Man-O-War in the back next to Zenyatta with his broken leg laying down underneath him.
when we were talking to her at Breyer, we were talking, I think it's Kathleen over at Breyer, when we were over there, she said there on their website there is instructions for fixing broken legs because apparently it has been an epidemic with Breyer horses. So they are they have proper instructions for fixing that. So if you ever want to fix up Man of War so he can run again, there you go.
Oh, he runs just fine. You know, we don't, just because he's handicapped doesn't mean we don't let him play with the others, Glenn.
And Aubrey hasn't called in. I wonder if she got, like, fell in the earthquake fault or something. So, because there's no Aubrey. Aubrey calls in and listens to our show every day, and we sort of look forward to seeing her in there. But she's not there. So, Aubrey, we hope you're okay. So, again, the phone number is 347-637-3238. We'd love to hear your earthquake stories if you want to give us a call. Jennifer, what's coming up? Oh, by the way, and the other thing before we get to Jennifer is it's Friday.
Woohoo! For you, you big jerk.
I'm out of here today. My last day of the week. I love it. Got the shows are all in the works here. I'm going to be in good shape by the time I leave. All the shows for the week are done. And I checked out my costume yesterday and dug that all out. Haven't tried it on yet. See if it still fits, but I'm sure it will.
Glenn, seriously, you're wearing tights this entire weekend, really? Is that true?
No, just Saturday. Just the dress and tights on Saturday. Saturday's dress and tights.
That's your going out outfit on Saturday night.
That
that's where
correct.
We put on our nice tights and head out with the boys. Good night.
That's right. That's right. And girls with big cleavage. You forgot that part. I mentioned that yesterday.
Uh-huh. I know.
That.
Thank you very
All
much.
All right, Jennifer, what's
coming up? Help us. Help your husband before he gets in trouble.
It's old news. Glenn in trouble, old news. Today on Back on Track Wednesday, we are sidelining the show with Aaron Gilmore of Sidelines Magazine, who will be here to satisfy Jamie and Glenn's need for melodramatic horse-y headlines. And next up, we will hear the conclusion of yesterday's cliffhanger chapter of Black Beauty, more drama. And last but not least, Glenn will be creating plenty of drama over whatever topic Christy and Dr. Jones are talking about on the Horse Health Report. So stay tuned, because today's show may just be Broadway bound.
I'm pretty excited about this, actually, Jennifer. For those who don't know, I am moving, and I have a contractor coming over this morning at about 10 till 10 Eastern, which is about 6:50 my time. I'm going to have to leave the show a little bit early today, and because he's going to move my stalls. I'm so excited. He's going to head out there, take apart my stalls, which, by the way, was a really good idea to hire somebody to do it. And I must tell you, too, that, Glenn, we have these big, giant cross ties that we put up for the horses, and it's just big solid piece of metal that goes across and it goes up, and there's these horseshoes that adorn it, and that's where you hang your little cross ties from. They're so stinking cute, and I really wanted to take them with us, but I called the contractor. They're cemented into the ground, and I said, hey, you know, I'd like to go ahead and buy some more for the new house. And he's like, why don't you just take them with you, be cheaper? And I said, well, I can't dig these things out of the ground, and they're covered in cement. I'd have to chip the cement away. He's like, what you could do is you could just pull them out, just cut them off where they are, add some pipe to it, and weld that on, and then just take it over there and sink it in the ground again. He goes, that'd be easier. And I said, easier for who? Like, in a way, I am slicing off some big metal piping, welding some new pipe on, and then moving it over there and sinking into the ground with concrete again. He said, I could do it. I could do about half the price of going to get some new cross ties. I was like, sold.
Is that the way he talks, by the way? Just checking. Is that the way he talks?
Yes. I don't know where he's from, and I'm so excited to listen to him today, because if I listen to somebody that southern, I'm going to come in talking like it tomorrow. You know I will.
I'm so glad I'm not
going to be. Very fast for having a southern accent. So yeah, I'll try to get this guinea on where he's from, because he definitely is very southern. The other thing is, what I'm really excited about, Glenn, is you're going to have to step it up today. You're going to have to talk to thehorse.com, and the horse.com is a company, they're more medically based. And they provide us with fantastic information, Glenn, on how that we as a horse owner need to be responsible in taking care of our horses. And can I get your word that you, because you're going to be doing this by yourself, because I have to go. I don't know what the topic is. However, you're going to have to do this by yourself, and you're going to have to really step it up. Are you ready?
No, Dart. See, the thing is, you know darn well what the topic is. And I have to tell you that this has been quite a day for me, because this morning, first thing, because I'm getting ready to go, so I have to get all the other shows edited and ready to go out. So I'm editing the Western radio show this morning, and there's a whole – have you ever been to the Big Texan? That's that big truck stop place that serves the big, huge steaks and stuff in Amarillo, Texas.
Amarillo, and it's got a huge bull out front, and
if you eat
your steak in an hour or something, it's free.
Yeah, that's right. So they're talking to the owner of there, because they're talking. They also have a horse hotel at that place. And they're talking about horse hotels. It's actually a pretty good episode on the Western radio show. Well, Alan's talking about Rocky Mountain oysters because he loves the Rocky Mountain oysters at the Big Texan. I knew you'd love this conversation. So he's
aren't
talking
those
about
testicles?
Yeah, those
like
are bull
testicles.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Oh,
yep.
My God.
So now I can honestly say that I've never eaten a bull testicle in my life and never want to. And he was trying to talk Tammy into trying them. And so they had this whole conversation. And then the guy said, well, we're going to be making, you know what a po' boy is? That's those big sandwich things that you get in Louisiana. Well, they're going to make Rocky Mountain oyster versions of the po' boy here coming up. So that was a big news, big exciting news out of Texas. And, you know, Alan's just raving about them. And then I look after that, and I see what the topic is going to be on today's horse health segment.
It was not planned, I swear, but Christy, this was fan-dang-tastic. The fact that today, my friends, you will all be getting educated about sheath cleaning. Yay!
It seems like my whole day is destined to be
genitalia related.
Yes. Good. Thank you. I couldn't think of a rated G way to say that, actually. So
you are going to discuss with them the merits of cleaning a sheath and the importance of cleaning a sheath and the technique on how to do it right. Because it is a very important part of owning a gelding. And I own 6. So there are 6 geldings in my backyard, and this is very important. So I need you, Glenn, to take notes, and then tomorrow I'm going to quiz you on – or I'm sorry, I guess you won't be here tomorrow. Well, I'll either call you after the show or do it Monday. I'm going to quiz you on how to clean a sheath because I'm going to miss this very important segment.
Let me just say that I have never cleaned a sheath in my life because I always bought mares, so I wouldn't have to. You know, people talk about, you know, never wanting to buy mares. We love mares. I love mares. I think mares are the best thing ever. I'll take the snarkiness of a mare just so I don't have to touch that. So, it's going to be tough for me today. This whole sheath cleaning thing is going to be it. And you know they're going to be picking on me the whole time. You know that, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, this is going to be fantastic. This is going to be great radio, people. So stick around 10 Eastern. Glenn talks about horse penises.
Hey, and I do want to tell everybody that Jamie will be here the next 2 days, and Jennifer, that you're going to have some fill-in co-hosts. You're going to have Reese Coffler-Stanfield tomorrow, you know, of Cooking with Reese fame. She'll be on with you the whole show. And then Debbie Laux, who is Monty Roberts' daughter, will be co-hosting with you on Friday. That's quite a thing, by the way. She this will be the first time she co-hosts any of our shows. So that's quite special to have Debbie on.
She found out that you were going to be gone, and then she was like, oh, I'll definitely co-host with Jamie.
She's always said no before.
Hey, online, Aubrey Miller says she is listening online, Glenn, and she was riding. This is great. She said she was riding during the earthquake and didn't feel a thing. It must be her new dressage saddle. It's awesome enough to shake the earth. Oh, that's it. Barbara Evans said that they felt it in Boston, too, and it was no big deal. She used to live in San Francisco, and she had one that emptied the bathtub when she was taking a bath. That might be a good visual.
And Amy Aiken
said,
yeah, you got it? Okay.
You go.
Well, she said, I work in disaster management in Philadelphia, so I kind of live for stuff like earthquakes. However, I was in the basement of a large seismic building and felt nothing. So sad.
Oh.
Sorry you missed it, Amy. Apparently,
hey, we need to do our Daily Winnies.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even do that yet. See, we're having too much fun this morning. See, it's Friday. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to Lynn Whiten, who posted on our page a couple new posters that we see popping in now, so we wanted to acknowledge them. Remember we talked about T-shirts yesterday? I found those cool websites that had the really neat T-shirts. Well, she said, seen on T-shirt, I'm so busy, I don't know if I found a rope or lost my horse. I can honestly say I've been in the barn at times when I've walked into the barn with the lead rope and the halter, and I can't remember whether I was putting the horses in or out.
Glenn.
That's the problem with ADD.
I just do that in my house. I walk in the kitchen, and I'm like, what did I come in here for? And then you have to go back to the spot you were at and then remember and then
start
come
over.
Back. Yeah. Start over. Reset. This might be one of the coolest posts ever. My Daily Winnie goes out to Danny Reuter. Hey, Glenn and Jamie, I just want to send a note of appreciation to you. She posted this on our Facebook yesterday. Check this out. This is awesome. I am currently living in a rural village in northern Peru for 2 years of Peace Corps service. I got really into downloading podcasts whenever I can get internet to pass the hot afternoons in my mud house. As a former eventer, I stumbled upon the Eventing Radio Show, which then led me to Horses in the Morning, and now you guys keep me company when I need a break from thinking in Spanish. The Horse Radio Network has inspired me to get back into riding ASAP when I get back to the States, and I'm even convinced my dad that he needs a big new event horse when he goes trail riding. And she says she doesn't have much money saved up after 2 years of living in poverty. Yeah, probably not going to cash it in when you live in a mud hut in Peru for 2 years doing free service for everybody. But you are my hero. She said, just wanted to let you know how much your show helps me maintain my sanity. P.S. I love Black Beauty.
How much did you pay her?
I paid her nothing. Obviously, I will pay her because she lives in a mud hut in Peru doing, you know, God's work. But
hey,
bless
we can
her heart,
Peru
that
now
is
to the country.
Thing.
We got a new country, Peru.
I think that people who do that, because I dreamed of being in the Peace Corps when I was younger, and it just never worked out. I think that is just so neat that, Danny, I want to get you on the show. I have to talk to you about living in a mud hut in Peru and being motivated and inspiring. So I want to talk to you, so you have to send me an email, jamie@horseradionetwork.com. And then I have another Daily Winnie, Glenn.
Holy cow, you're just full of Daily Winnies today.
I know. And my Daily Winnie goes to where we just talked about somebody living in poverty in Peru for 2 years in a mud hut. This may be the complete opposite. This is the luckiest girl on the planet right now. Her name is Alyssa Phillips. And if you check out Horse Junkies United, she's one of the new bloggers there. Why is she a blogger there? Because she's going to be blogging about her new horse, Exploring. Does the name Exploring sound familiar to anybody? No?
Yes, it does. Jessica Phoenix's famous horse, who she had to sell, poor thing.
I cannot believe it. Jessica Phoenix sold her horse Exploring to a rider named Alyssa Phillips, who is currently riding novice and trying to go training level. Now, mind you, this is her Rolex horse. This was a horse going super advanced and over jumping advanced fences. So while I think Alyssa is the luckiest girl in the world to be getting a horse like Exploring, and I'm so jealous and I think it's amazing and I wish her the best of luck. Oh my gosh, did your heart just go out to Jessica Phoenix or what? How hard would that have been to sell a horse that you've got all the way up to the 4-star level?
And we know Jessica, she's a very emotional person to begin with. You know, she's a tough eventer, but she's also, you know, she's she's an emotional 20-year-old girl, and so sweet. And I don't know why she sold them. Did we ever hear why?
No, I haven't.
I haven't either. We're going to have to get Jessica on here again soon to chat. She's going to be we're going to get some live reports from England next week. So we're hoping to get Jessica on to find out, too, what's going on.
Yeah, I can't imagine that this is something that you would want to do. You know, maybe it's one of those things that you have to do, but certainly not one of those things that you would want to. So it's kind of a...
Jennifer just said Jessica's like a bagel, tough on the outside and soft and squishy on the inside. I've never heard of it.
I don't know, Jessica, but I could totally see that, being a young woman that loves her horses. So anyway, so good luck to Exploring's new owner, Alyssa Phillips, and Jessica Phoenix. I give you a big, giant hug from out here in Phoenix, because that must be actually pretty difficult.
Definitely. Dale Hodge chimed in, my old buddy from high school, said, "Hi, Glenn. I was parked in the home garage, and the car started rocking side to side," and he lives in Pennsylvania. "The dog didn't notice anything, or at least wasn't actually, I think he lives in Maryland. The dog didn't notice anything, or at least wasn't spooked. My girlfriend's building in Annapolis was evacuated, and the downstairs bar gave away free beer to the displaced workers."
That was
such a bad day.
Yeah.
Kathy Yarnell says, the two horses were cantering in tight circles in the morning. I know it was hours before the quake, but they are normally busy watching my every move and waiting the gate for breakfast, so I'm not sure if it was quake-related or not. However, my old beagle knew something was up. He wasn't upset, but he jumped into the bed. So, he smart beagle, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know where Kathy's from. She didn't post that. So reports are coming in, earthquake reports. And then there's other big news, too. And that's what we got a sizable hurricane heading up the East Coast. Looks like it's going to miss Florida at this point. Hurricane Irene is heading up, but it just turned to a Category 3 now. So I didn't want to fail to mention that today.
Yeah, and I would like to say that Mother... Just because we mention the word Florida and storm does not mean that we need to make the show all about you. I got an email from my mother yesterday. It took me back to high school. So you mention a hurricane coming to Florida and not a word about your poor mother who is living here in the middle of it? I mean, I could get hit by a hurricane. You wouldn't even remember. You wouldn't call. No, she wasn't that bad. But I was like, okay, I'm sorry, Mom. Every time we mention Florida, I'm going to mention that my mother lives there. I'll relate you to whatever we're talking about, and she's listening to me right now. And if you want to call in, go ahead, 347-637-3238. We'll just make you a co-host. Every single – you can do the segment about sheath cleaning with Glenn. So go ahead and call in. That'd be fine. And love you, Mom. Miss you. Come visit.
My brother lives in Florida, too, and he's been calling me every day because he's just moved there to Ocala, and he has not experienced a hurricane in Florida yet, so I think he was kind of looking forward to it, and it's not going to happen. So it's heading off the coast. It is going to, however, it looks like it's going to hit around Myrtle Beach in North Carolina there and maybe go up right over the Chesapeake Bay, so Maryland, and it's supposed to be still a Category 2 by the time it hits up there. So it could be... could be doing a lot of damage to a lot of people that we listen to this show. I know who live in Maryland, like Dale and other people who listen up there in Maryland that have farms. So you could have an interesting end of the weekend. Could be a lot of fun.
Yes, absolutely. And my BFF, Liam, says that he's very glad that they have boring weather over here.
That's funny. All right, Jamie, I think we're going to have to get to Black Beauty because we have a lot to do in the show today. So why don't we do Black Beauty first, and then you're leaving me early to leave me talking about you know, yeah. Can't even say it.
Cheese cleaning, cleaning a wiener.
Read your book.
Now This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
And this is part two of chapter 45, Jerry's New Year. Early the next morning, he was there. "Well," said he. "Father is better," said Harry. "Mother hopes he will get over it." "Thank God," said the governor. "And now you must keep him warm, keep his mind easy, and that brings me to the horses. You see, Jack will be all the better for the rest of a week or two in a warm stable, and you can easily take a turn up and down the street to stretch his legs. But this young one, if he does not get work, he will rather too soon be all up on end, and as you may say, one will be rather too much for you, and when he does go out, there could be an accident." "It is like that now," said Harry. "I have kept him short of corn, but he's so full of spirit I don't know what to do with him." "Just so," said Grant. "Now look here, will you tell your mother that, if she's agreeable, I will come for him every day until something is arranged and take him for a good spell of work, and whatever he earns, I'll bring your mother half of it, and that'll help with the horses' feed. Your father isn't a good club, I know, but that won't keep the horses, and they'll be eating their heads off all this time. I'll come at noon to hear what she says." And without waiting for Harry's thanks, he was gone. At noon, I think he went and saw Polly, for he and Harry came to the stable together, harnessed Hotspur, and took him out. For a week or more, he came for Hotspur, and when Harry thanked him or said anything about his kindness, he laughed it off, saying it was all good luck for him, for his other horses were wanting a little rest, which they could not have otherwise had. Jerry grew better steadily, but the doctor said that he must never go to cab work again if he wished to be an old man. The children had many consultations together about what father and mother would do and how they could help to earn money. One afternoon, Hotspur was brought in very wet and dirty. "The streets are nothing but slush," said the governor. I'll give you a good warning, my boy, to get him clean and dry." "All right, governor," said Harry. "I shall not leave him till he is. You know I've been trained by my father." "I wish all the boys had been trained like you," said the governor. While Harry was sponging off the mud from Hotspur's body and legs, Dolly came in looking very full of something. "Who lives at Fairstowe, Harry? Mother has gotten a letter from Fairstowe. She seemed so glad and ran upstairs to father with it." "Don't you know, well, it's the name of Mrs. Fowler's place, mother's old mistress. You know, the lady that father met last summer who sent you and me 5 shillings each?" "Oh, Mrs. Fowler, of course, I know all about her. I wonder what she's writing to mother about." "Mother wrote to her last week," said Harry. "You know, she told father if he ever gave up cab work, she would like to know. I wonder what she says. Run in and see, Dolly." Harry scrubbed away at Hotspur with a swish, swish, like any old ostler. In a few minutes, Dolly came dancing into the stable. "Oh, Harry, there was never anything so beautiful. Miss Fowler says that we are all to go and live near her. There's a cottage, new empty, that'll just suit us, with a garden, a hen house, and apple trees and everything. And her coachman is going away in the spring, and then she'll want father in his place. And there are good families around where you can get a place in the garden or the stable or as a page boy. And there's a good school for me. And mother is laughing and crying by turns, and father does look so happy." "That's uncommon jolly," said Harry, "and just the right thing, I should say. It'll suit father and mother both, but I don't intend to be a page boy with tight clothes and rows of buttons. I'll be a groom or a gardener." It was quickly settled that as soon as Jerry was well enough, they should remove to the country, and that the cab and horses should be sold as soon as possible. This was very heavy news for me, for I was not young now and could not look for any improvement in my condition. Since I left Berwick, I had never been so happy with my dear master Jerry, but 3 years of cab work, even under the best conditions, will tell on one's strength. I felt that I was not the horse that I had once been. Grant said at once that he would take Hotspur, and there were men on the cab who would have bought me, but Jerry said I should not go to cab work again with just anybody, and the governor promised to find a place for me where I should be comfortable. The day came for going away. Jerry had not been allowed to go out yet, and I never saw him after that New Year's Eve. Polly and the children came to bid me goodbye. "Poor old Jack, dear old Jack, I wish we could take you with us," she said. And then, laying her hand on my mane, she put her face close to my neck and kissed me. Dolly was crying and kissed me too, and Harry stroked me a good deal but said nothing, only he seemed very sad, and so I was led away to my new place. Tomorrow, part four.
Well, that was good news. We didn't have anybody die today.
I'm so sad. I know what it's like. We need to go to a new home. He was so happy.
Yeah, but we didn't have any deaths. The guy lived. So that's good.
Okay.
Hi.
I'm okay.
Are you ready
now?
We can continue now. All right. We had an opportunity. We promised the other day that we were going to play a little clip for you that we recorded when we were at Ada. And this was an opportunity to get together with Bo from Back on Track. We talked to him a little bit about the old country and about racing, and we've never really had an opportunity to talk to Bo about horses and things. We've just always talked about his products from backontrackproducts.com. Well, today we're going to share with you a little bit about what we talked to him about at Ada. So here is that recording.
But before we let Bo go, we have something to talk to him about, because you were called on the carpet by one of our guests here recently, Jimmy Tactor, who is the trainer of one of the winningest standardbred horses now in almost history.
3-year-old filly. At this moment, she is 21-0. She was in USA Today talking about how she didn't get to run last weekend because of the rain, and she's going to be next weekend here in Philadelphia.
And her name is See You at Peeler's, okay, which is what I say at the end of every show now. And you have to go back and listen to previous shows to find out why exactly I say that. It has something to do with how she got her name. And I'll give you a little clue. It was the show on 8/3/2011. You can go back and take a listen to that one and hear the interview we did with Jimmy. But where'd you grow up, Bo?
I grew up south in Sweden, and Jimmy and his family moved down there, I think, when Jimmy was around 16. His dad was one of the absolute best horsemen some Sweden have had.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So was his dad a race trainer, too?
Yeah, standardbred trainer.
How did you know him?
We worked at the same track.
Oh, is that right?
And then he moved over to U.S. 1 year before me, so I got to know him a lot more over here, you know. But he actually took after his dad.
He said that you were a troublemaker. That's what he told us.
Well, that goes both ways.
Everybody's innocent, Glenn.
Yeah.
Come on. I didn't do it.
What did you do at the track there at Sweden?
I trained horses myself, you know, but I never raced much. I sold them. When we get something good, we sold them. And
standardbreds?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. So is standardbred really racing popular in Sweden?
It's one of the biggest sports over there. Yeah.
No kidding.
Compared to here, you know, thoroughbred is a lot bigger here, but thoroughbred is very small in Sweden. But the standardbred is everybody, you know, they have racing on TV and things like that, so you can watch it.
Do they do trotters and pacers over
there?
Yes,
trotters.
Just trotters.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, but... But,
Jennifer loves trotters. She's over there cheering.
But Jimmy is one of the absolute best trainers.
So you sat in that little cart a few times behind a horse?
Yeah, I drove a little bit races over here, too, you know. So, I've been around the track a few times.
I have never gone that fast. I have had ponies, and I drive, and I've gone fast. I had a Hackney, but I've never gone that fast. That must be a thrill.
You have to go out to Jimmy.
Jimmy, you got to put me behind one of the safe ones, please.
And then see you at Peeler's after that.
Do you miss it?
Of course. I mean, I miss the horses. I don't miss the business so much. It's very competitive. And Jimmy is one of the few who make it good living.
Good money,
you know?
Yeah.
How did you go from driving and training standardbreds to making these innovative products for Back on Track?
Actually, it was a friend of me who found it on one of the best horses over here, Victor Tilly, when he was over to race at Meadowlands, the pads, the leg wraps, and she asked me if I want to help her out, and then after 3 months, when there started to be more work, she didn't want to do it, so she gave it to me, so I was kind of lucky.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I have helped to develop the horse product with the company in Sweden. So. Mm-hmm.
And your products are, you know, they're not just in the United States. We should clarify that.
We sell, I think, in 27, 28 countries, yeah.
And okay, yeah. I've got to have them describe it. There's underwear for sale. we're going to talk about the dog products next, but the human underwear, is it the increased blood flow?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a pair, and you let everybody know what to do.
Make sure it doesn't make you more fertile.
Yeah,
that's what she's
ovulate?
Concerned about, because she's not really wanting kids right now.
I'll be happy to test it out for you. I'll call you. My 1-900 number. Thanks, Bo.
Thank you.
Did you test them out yet, Jamie? Those underwear?
You know what I did? This is bad. I did go over and I did get a pair of Back on Track underwear. I did.
You did
but
tell
I got
me
it,
that.
I got the men's variety. I got it for my husband. I'm like, here, wear these.
We don't want them more fertile, do we?
I said, he's like, you got me a pair of boxers, underwear from Ada? I said, yes, honey. Just go ahead and put these on, okay? I'll see you later around 6 p.m. tonight.
Okay, so you set it up. I have to ask, did they work?
Don't we have our guest on the line? Is Aaron on the line? Aaron's here from Sidelines Magazine. Hello, Aaron.
That's a great introduction. Thanks a lot, guys. How are you?
Perfect for Sidelines Magazine, right?
Yeah, actually, it is perfect for Sidelines Magazine. Maybe I can get a pair of those.
So, Aaron, first of all, from Sidelines Magazine, how the heck are you? We haven't talked to you in forever.
That's true. I'm good. I've been busy. This week especially, we were watching the weather, but now, of course, like you guys said, the storm's going to miss Florida, so I'm not worried anymore. But I've been good. How about you?
Oh, my gosh. We've been just, you know, living the dream. I'm moving into a new farm, so hopefully we won't have to cut this short and let Glenn take over just in case I have to go. But we're going to talk to you about three or four different things, and I think it's great because I just – got in the mail my first pair of Carrots breeches, and the first story that you have is about Carrots.
It is about Carrots in a way. I love Carrots, right? Don't you? I've actually been wearing their breeches for years. They were the first breeches I had when I was a little kid. But
my husband said that they're actually hot breeches. He's like, you actually
look
hot in them.
With him in his underwear and you're in your Carrots, you're never going to get that move done.
Move on, Aaron.
All right. This is actually, as soon as I heard about this, I had to get pictures of it and tell you guys about it because it's too funny. Carrots, they make breeches, of course, but they make really cute equestrian clothing, right? Tops and jackets and stuff. And you've probably seen these jackets they have, these really cool long sleeve jackets with this beautiful horse on the back. An artist painted it and they took her painting and they put it on a bunch of their shirts. It's at animalstowear.com if you go to the website.
We have had that lady on the show with us. I think over on the Stable Scoop show, the Animals to Wear lady.
Yeah, she's great, right? She's very talented.
Yep.
But she was sitting in a diner somewhere in Delaware wearing one of her designs, wearing one of the jackets, and the waitress at the diner came over and started chatting about how much she liked the jacket and the design, and then the waitress realized that she was talking to the actual artist who had painted this design, and she was wearing it on her jacket. The girl, the waitress, realizes that she's talking to Becky, the artist, and she whips off her shirt and turns around, and she shows Becky this full back tattoo that she has of Becky's design. So she had taken her shirt, the Carrot shirt, to a tattoo parlor and had someone tattoo the horse on her back. Is that a compliment? Do you think that's a compliment? I think that's a compliment.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, if someone could take your design and put it permanently on their body, that's a pretty big compliment, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
Now, Aaron, you don't realize is that all Glenn heard was the girl ripped her shirt off and showed it to the other girl.
I was kind of wondering about that in the diner. I was going to say, I have never gone to a diner where that's happened. I really want to know the name of the place.
You know what?
You get that for me.
Neither have I, but no one's ever tattooed my drawing on their body either. So there's a first time for everything, right?
That's true.
I love it. That's definitely the utmost compliment if you're an artist, is somebody, you know,
it
permanently
is,
inked your design.
It is, but that's not all. I guess Becky wasn't too happy about that, so she's now suing the tattoo artist for breach of copyright.
What?
And yes. Yes. So apparently it's not the hugest compliment.
Oh, Becky, get over it. It's the ultimate compliment. Somebody's going to put this thing on their body permanently?
Yeah, well, apparently the tattoo artist, since he copied the design, he's in breach of copyright and he's getting sued. I'm not sure where the waitress, the person who actually has this on her body, is coming into the situation. But it's going to get interesting.
I sure hope the court doesn't ask her to have it removed.
Yeah, that would be a bummer, right? It's a pretty big tattoo.
But I'm confused now because this seems like a little bit ridiculous that now Disney could sue everybody that has a stupid Mickey Mouse tattoo on their ankle, or you got the Looney Tunes. I mean, how
point.
Many people have like Wile E. Coyote, you know, Tweety Bird on their back? This
exactly.
seems like it could really start a precedent. That's
or
a
it could just be a little ridiculous.
Yeah,
we'll see how it all turns out. We did enjoy the pictures, though, and Glenn, you can see the picture of the girl's back. I sent it to Jen, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, I want to see it posted on Facebook, Jen, if you don't mind. I would love to see that, too. I want to see how big it is.
It's pretty big.
Sorry.
It's pretty big.
Okay, so next topic that we're going to talk to really kind of hit me in the face because you're going to talk about a book called The Dressage Chronicles, and it's a novel
right.
by a name that I have not heard in a very long time. Karen McGoldrick taught me dressage lessons when I was like 8 years old, and she lives in Atlanta, which is where I grew up, and I have not heard this name in probably since I was in high school. Intermittently
wow,
taking dressage lessons.
How oh, that's
cool
really, really cool. That's very cool. Well, Karen is a trainer and a judge and also a writer, too. She writes for Dressage Connection, I think another dressage magazine. And she, in between all that she does, she wrote this book, and she contacted me on the Sidelines blog on the line and said she wanted to send me a copy, which, of course, I said, of course, send it to me. I always read something about horses. She's written this novel about a working student who goes to Florida to train with a very famous dressage trainer and goes to work in one of the really, really fancy barns that look more like mansions for people than barns for horses. And it's mm-hmm. just a really fun book about what she goes through and the hard work and, of course, the drama with all the people. She's got all these colorful characters in the book. I don't ride dressage. I am barely a dressage fan. I will watch it sometimes. But I love this book. This book was good. This book was funny, and I could relate to it. And, of course, I live in South Florida, so I could especially relate to it. But Karen kind of outdid herself, so I wanted to tell you guys about it. And that's so funny. So you took dressage lessons from her when you were a kid?
We rode at a little place called Little Creek Farm in Atlanta, Georgia, in Decatur, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And my instructor was a woman named Kay Smarslick. And when Kay was gone, Kay would take trips to Germany all the time. And mm-hmm. when Kay was gone, Karen would teach the lessons for when Kay was gone. And she had the most amazing warm blood. It was the first warm blood I'd ever seen. I mean, I started riding there when I was like 7, you know. But I rode there probably through being the age of 17. So I took a lot of lessons with her when Kay would be gone. And just that name, I saw it. I was like, oh, my gosh, that is so,
so
stinking
funny.
Cool. And then she went on and bought a place up in Alpharetta. So she moved out of our barn and
right.
she moved on to her own. And I've been to the place, and it was one of those places that, yes, you could eat off the floor. If there was
right.
She is like a tack cleaning crazy woman. Like she almost cleans a tack when it's still on the horse. That's how
hey, good. Hey guys,
hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
I just wanted to throw this in here. I hear rumor that Karen might be listening to the show this morning. If you are, give us a call at 347-637-3238. I'd really like to ask you what kind of brat Jamie was when she was 8. So give us a call.
I don't think he remembers me.
347-637-3238. Just saying.
Jamie, I asked Karen about the book, and she said that she didn't model any of the characters on any one person. she didn't want to, you know, to make anyone mad. But her characters are a combination of, you know, a lot of the people she's known. So you should read this book very carefully. You might see yourself in there somewhere. Who knows?
So if there's a story in the book about a, like, 10-year-old girl whose mother purchased her a 7-year-old off-the-track thoroughbred,
oh.
That would be me.
That would be you. That would be you.
Well, the horse you ride away with her all the time.
go to her website and check out the video that she made about this book. She made pretty much a trailer introducing her book, which I haven't really seen before. It's a really cool little 35-second video. I posted it on the Sidelines blog on the line, but it's also on her website. It's pretty cool. So watch the video and then pick up the book, and maybe Karen will call and tell us more.
All right. It's called The Dressage Chronicles. You can find it at thedressagechronicles.com.
That's right. And on Amazon and on the web. She's done a good job. She's getting it out there. She just released it a couple weeks ago.
All right. And what is our next thing? You got a new column on Sidelines, huh?
Yeah, we do. I wanted to tell you guys about it real quick. Our junior staff writer, Jan Westmark, she's put together a new column that gives juniors, those writers under 18, a chance to send us their pictures and tell us a little bit about what they've won lately, and we're putting it into a new column. Actually, it's on the website, too, the website and the print magazine. We've really found that everybody loves to be in a magazine, so we're trying to give all our readers more opportunities to do that. So we're hoping. Actually, the first issue that had it in there, I think, was August or September, and we got a lot of submissions, but we're hoping to get even more. So I hope everybody can check that out. That's on our website.
And what is the website for you guys? Go ahead and give that out so everybody can go check it out and subscribe.
Yeah, that's sidelinesnews.com.
Sidelinesnews.com. Fantastic. Well, Erin, thank you so much for joining us, and we will talk
You're
to
welcome.
You again soon, and I hope everything over at Sidelines is going well.
It is.
All right. Thank you, Erin.
All right. Talk to you later, guys.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Erin, she's folding right into this. She's relaxed today, just did her reports. It was good. Good job, Erin.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
I like it. So we've got to do the commercial for FeedXL, Glenn, but I have to go now.
Okay.
So I wanted to introduce the song that we're going to play, and maybe just do FeedXL afterwards, because we got to do a musical episode with a guy who is going to be super famous. We just happened to catch him before he would, you know, not take our calls. His name is Jared Rogerson, and I cannot wait for you guys to hear this song. First of all, he is a we learned about him yesterday. He has a master's degree. He currently rides horses tracking elk. He's a biologist, and he has this voice that you're going to hear, and he sings these songs. And he did a musical episode with us. My favorite song he does is called Peace, Love, and Horses. He writes songs about horses, and he's cute, and he's a cowboy, and it's awesome. So I want to play End of Days. And everybody listen to this, and just know that in a couple weeks we're going to have an entire musical episode. But go follow him on Facebook. It's Jared Rogerson is his name.
All right. Thank you, Jamie. You have a good rest of the day, and we'll talk to you back on Monday.
Okay, thanks. Bye, guys. Enjoy sheep cleaning.
Thanks.
Shaking, the ice is breaking, the water's rising, it's getting kind of hot down here, and there's a big change on the horizon. Girl, have no fear, I know we just met, but we don't have much time, let's get out of here. Put your hand in mine. It's the end of days. Let's saddle up and ride. Just you and me underneath that brand new light. Up so high, we can watch it all go by. Put your arms around me, better hold on tight. We may never get this chance again. This could be the end of days.
of the times. So let's sit back and watch it unfold. I know we just met, but we don't have much time. Move on over here and press your lips to mine. It's the end of day. Let's saddle up and ride. Just you and me underneath that red moonlight. Up so high, we can watch it all go by. Lay around our campfire as the flame gets higher. We may never get this chance again. This could be the end of day. If Yellowstone goes, well, I won't be surprised. Girl, I wanna see the fireworks in your eyes. There's hurricanes and tornadoes and tsunamis like we've never seen before. But I'm not trying to make you worry about wars and rumors of wars. Like two disappearing glaciers, we may never be here again. I know what we should do while we still can. It's the end of days. Let's saddle up and ride. I wanna be along with you when that red moon shines. Just you and me, way back in those trees. I'm sure we can find something to do. We'll never have a better excuse. This could be the end of day. This could be.
Well, that is Jared Rogerson. And what Jamie didn't tell you about the special musical episode we recorded with him yesterday is that he is a very, very good looking guy who also rides, has been in the rodeo riding Bronx for years. And Jamie kind of has a little crush, I think, going on old Jared there. She was kind of disappointed on the show when she found out he was married. Now, Jamie's married too, which kind of thinks she forgot for a couple minutes. But he's a very nice guy. And we got off the phone with him after doing that musical episode with him. And we both said to each other, I think that this guy is going to go big time. He only started singing a year ago. And you hear his voice and the way he plays. Unbelievable. We really do think that this guy is going to make it big time. So we're back.
Do you think he'll talk to you afterwards? She was gushing so that 2 years from now, when he's mega famous, she can get free tickets to the Grand Ole Opry.
He promised us that he would let us know when he's at the Grand Ole Opry, and he would definitely get us tickets. He promised us because we're the ones breaking his career. It's because of our show he's going to make it big time.
You just go with that, Glenn.
I'm sticking to that. I'm believing it. I'm believing for him, and you can look forward to that. I think that show is going to come up on the 19th. We have a week's vacation coming up here in September, and Whole Horse Radio Network is going to be off, but we're getting shows recorded ahead of time so that you will not miss a day here of Horses in the Morning.
We couldn't do that. We'd have some kind of riot.
That's right. That's correct. So go ahead and you can give Christy a call and get them on the line, and we can do the horse segment, which I am so looking forward to today. But today we also have a sponsor, and that's FeedXL. FeedXL is the way to find out if you're feeding your horses correctly. We've been talking about this for a while now. If you haven't gone and done it, go do it today. Go to feedxl.com and just take a couple minutes to plug in the information about your horses and the information about what you feed your horses, from hay to grain to vitamins to supplements, everything you put in your horse's mouth, you can input. And what they do is they take all of the ingredients for all of those things, and they analyze it, and they come back with a report that tells you if you're feeding your horse correctly, whether you're feeding too much of one thing or too little of another. And they do that for you at feedxl.com. This was put together by some doctors of nutrition in Australia, and very nice people who know what they're doing and know what they're talking about. So go to feedxl.com today and check that out. While we're waiting for the horse.com segment today, I just wanted to bring you a news story out of Massachusetts. A Massachusetts woman made horse racing history at Suffolk Downs Monday. Tammy, and I think it's pronounced Piermarini. Jamie's so much better at names. Piermarini? Sorry, Tammy, I totally screwed up your name. She became only the fifth female jockey in history to reach 2,000 wins. And she rode into the record books on a horse named Sugar Trade. And she said she never would have imagined the achievement when she began racing in 1985 at the age of 18. So she's been racing for a little while, for sure. And she idolizes the four women who made the mark before her. And we're trying to get her actually on the show here to talk to her a little bit one morning and to find out how, you know, how exciting this is for her. She says through pregnancy, serious injuries, and setbacks, her love of horse racing has always pushed her to keep going. She says, I do it for free. I just love the horses. This is my passion. It's always been since I was a little girl. Her favorite part, she says, is an easy question. Winning's my favorite part, she said. She said, I hate to get beat. I am really not a good loser. So congratulations to the Tammy up there in Massachusetts at Suffolk Downs for reaching the 2,000 mark. That's so exciting for her. All right, it's time for the horse.com. I know we have Christy on. I think we're going to wait. We're waiting for Dr. Jones to show up here, but I can chat with Christy here for a minute. Good morning. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Okay, so we were having a conversation earlier. I don't know if you got to listen to earlier in the show.
I did not catch all of it. I'm sorry. I came in at the very end, so I need a refresher.
Okay, good, because a lot of people, I'm sure, did, and it was a very important conversation. It's about Rocky Mountain oysters. Yeah, because, you know, by the way, Jamie had to cut out. She's moving, and she had to cut out, so it's just you and me right now.
Okay.
And Jennifer's getting Dr. Jones on. So she left me with this particular topic today that you're talking about all by myself, because I knew she wasn't going to be here today, and she coordinated with this with you. But I got to go back to how I started my day. I get up at 4 o'clock every morning, and I edit shows, and I do work before the show and get everything ready. And I'm editing the Western radio show this week, and Alan and Tammy had the guy on from the Big Texan down there, that big truck stop place where they serve the 72-ounce steaks that if you eat one, you get it for free.
Yeah.
Well, and Alan's been there, and he's talking to the guy, and they're talking, and Alan says, you know, one of my favorite things at your restaurant is the Rocky Mountain oysters, which, by the way, if you don't know what they are, they're bull testicles. And they're quite a delicacy, apparently, in the Western world. I've never tried them, So then I look at the show notes for today's show, and we're talking about sheath cleaning.
Yes.
So I'm going from testicles to sheath.
It's a theme.
Yeah, it's kind of a theme today. It's definitely a theme today. So my question for you is, have you ever eaten Rocky Mountain oysters?
I have not. Have you?
No, and I don't think I really want to try. They're going to make a po' boy out of them down there at that restaurant. They're thinking that's going to be quite a popular thing. And Yeah, he was really trying to get Tammy to try them. Alan was bugging her the whole show, but she wasn't going there either.
You should head out there and give it a shot, and you know, come tell us all about it. You can be like the weird food guy, the guy that travels all over the place eating crazy stuff.
Yes, Anthony Bourdain.
Yes, thank you. Sorry.
Yeah,
obviously,
I don't watch the show
that often.
You know, I watched that show once or twice, and I just can't do it. I just can't even watch it, you know? I can't even watch him eating weird things.
There are some definitely crazy options out there.
I think
we got a lot of that from the Olympics as well, the latest Olympics. Some of the pictures and news stories that came out of that, things that people are finding in the local markets, the chocolate covered crickets and all sort of odd things.
I'm kind of a normal eater, you know. Kind of don't go for the weird stuff. So
you probably have some crazy food taste in the closet. You're just not telling us about it.
That's right. That's probably true. Now we're still waiting for to get Dr. Jones on here to have our wonderful conversation today about cheese cleaning. So before we do that, tell us any new excitement in the skydiving world.
I don't know about new excitement. I guess the excitement of this week is I'm supposed to travel to the wind tunnel in North Carolina, which is actually in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And you know what else is headed towards North Carolina for this weekend? That would be Hurricane Irene. Yeah,
you'll have a natural wind tunnel.
Well, you know, that's exactly what a friend of mine said yesterday. You know, you just, instead of having a vertical wind tunnel, you have an outdoor horizontal one. It's perfect. You know, you'll have winds
you
up to about 115
round,
miles
round,
an hour. That's
round.
About right.
Yeah, just go round and round and round. Just get that parachute up there. You'll have a good time.
Yes, we don't use parachutes in the wind tunnel. It's just a free fall simulation. So that's what we would have on the ground going sideways, apparently.
Well, there's a few people who've been in tornadoes that have had that experience. So.
You know, I'm just not sure I want to join that group. I like my wind a little bit more controlled.
We are ready to start. Let me find the music.
It's time for the weekly health report from thehorse.com. Fantastic information and Chrissy's attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
Good morning, Dr. Jones.
Good morning.
And thank
Jamie
you so much for our jingle.
Yeah, no problem. It's definitely appropriate today. Jamie has left me all by myself to deal with you two today on this topic.
Oh, how perfect.
I just want to say and clarify that I have only ever, of all the horses I've owned, Percherons and ponies, I have only ever owned mares. And there is a reason for that.
They have their issues, too. But this is something that actually
you
factors into your purchase decision.
That, you don't have to break little black things off of that part.
Are you just sympathizing here?
I am just cringing here on my ball right now. So,
and I guess if I ask you then when the last time was you cleaned a sheath, your answer is never, huh?
Never, ever, ever, ever. We have had geldings in the barn, and that was always Jennifer's job. She got to clean the sheets. I was nowhere to be seen. I just don't think a guy should do that. I think it's wrong.
I think it's really funny. We can actually hear the cringe in your voice, by the way.
Yeah, so
definitely.
We're talking about bull testicles this morning, and now we're in sheath cleaning. Yeah.
Well, is Jennifer too busy? Jennifer, when was the last time you cleaned a sheath?
Oh, a few months ago, I guess.
Yeah? Good for you.
Good
for you. Good girl.
She was a pony clubber.
They don't get what all the hubbub is about.
She was a pony clubber. They would get under, those inspectors would get under there with microscopes, and they would make sure that every little piece of it was clean, which is thick, too, by the way. You're just saying.
White gloves?
Yeah, white gloves, yeah.
Well, Aaron, can you tell us, since we're talking about how, when the last time was we cleaned sheaths, how often should you clean a horse's sheath?
Well, really, there's not a hard and fast rule to it, but minimum once a year is what they recommend, because that way you can kind of keep tabs of any kind of problems you might see on the sheath, you know, diseases and trauma, things like that. And Glenn, would you know what those diseases or traumas that are important, and this is why it's important to clean horses' sheaths, what diseases and traumas we'd be as veterinarians looking for or as the horse owner be watching out for?
La 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 la. I'm just over here going la 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 la. I really don't want to know.
Well, gloves are important. These are very important to make sure you catch them early.
I already have the moral of this whole story is buy a mare. That's the moral of the whole story. Just saying.
Okay. But the other half is out there too, and we got to take care of them too.
Tell us what kind of weird diseases I can cringe at now.
Well, you know, they're all cancers, primarily. Yeah, and, you know, this is something that you definitely want to keep an eye on. The worst of all of them is the squamous cell carcinoma that you would find and seen mostly on Appaloosas or any pink-skinned animal, horse. And those can be very invasive, painful, and you want to nip those in the bud early. There are
so many bad puns here today. It's incredible.
You can actually see small precancerous plaques start to show up, and I've actually taken liquid nitrogen to those and try to keep them at bay so that they don't get into these big, ugly, grotesque growths that tend to invade into the penis.
She's a mean, hateful woman. That's all I'm saying.
She's a very caring woman.
Yeah, there's melanomas. You definitely want
to... I do have a question, a serious question. You said, you know, on the light-skinned horses, you can see that. But it's underneath. How does, you know, usually you think about that with the sun causing that kind of problem with the,
yeah.
It's under. It's kind of hidden.
It's kind of hidden, except for, you know, in the sunrise and sunset, the sun isn't directly over top of the horse. It's on the side of the horse, and they do drop to go to the bathroom.
Okay. Next.
And we don't know everything about squamous and where it forms from. But you have melanomas is the other thing you have to keep an eye out for. I've got a very old Arab gelding, that gray, of course, that has a horrendous amount of melanomas, and he now tends to pack excessive smegma up inside his outside sheath and inside sheath between the two, and it gets horribly smelly, attracts a lot of flies and gnats, and so she needs to clean his sheath a little bit more often than once a year. And she's very concerned about, you know, his lifestyle and if he's having a happy life, because she doesn't want him to be in any pain. And then, of course, you know, those are your two major cancers. And then you've got bugs that will traumatize the horse, is my polite way of putting it. But I've seen summer sores on the end of the penis itself, where it's nice and moist. The flies will get there and lay eggs and cause a nice little summer sore, hebrinomyus home. And that's,
oh, that's
extremely
it.
Painful.
That's it. We're putting a diaper on Beaker. No bugs are getting in there again.
So there's a good reason to actually clean their sheath once a year, get it fully extended, take a good look at it, make sure everything's okay, at least once a year.
Perfect. Okay. And other than just the calendar, how do you know if your horse needs cleaning? You touched on the smell a little bit.
Glenn, do you have any other ideas?
No, I'm pretty much just hanging in here. You guys are about to finish the show yourselves, actually. And I'm not alone. Laura Gorman posted on Facebook, mares and only mares for me. See? I'm not alone. Good going, Laura. Thanks for supporting the coast here today.
Well, with the horses, the smell, like I did mention, and, you know, I've done flexion exams for pre-purchases or lameness exams, and the smell just about knocks you over, so you know it's been a while since that horse had its sheath clean. The other points you could see is there's some swelling of the sheath itself because there's so much dirt and debris packed up in there. They're not able to drop very well, and they get irritated and inflamed. And then, of course, you can get some that will spray the urine. If the bean is too large, the urethra opening actually gets squashed, is my best way of putting it, and they'll actually spray their back legs with urine, and you'll get these dermatitis on the front of the back legs.
I have somebody who's posted on our Facebook page that she has a paint gelding that gets what looks like barnacles on his, no matter how often he gets it clean. What would you suggest for that person?
Well, you know, I always tell people between good cleanings, they should always just try to put a hose up in there and try to keep the dirt and debris down, and that might just simply decrease how much dirt and debris gets on the penis itself. If you're able to, when you're sweat scraping off your horse after a ride or something like that, just blow out some of the dirt that collected there.
What's
during the ride?
What's she doing? Does she have a stable at the marina? Is he like underwater?
You know, Aaron, I think what we really need to have right now is a video feed of Glenn during this show.
Oh my God, wouldn't that be great?
I'm really cringing over here.
I can tell. I love it. All right. So
I'm sorry you're cringing, but it's really a necessary discussion to have.
Oh, I believe you. I believe you. I wouldn't want barnacles either.
We have clients that take advantage of any time I sedate the horse, whether they had a laceration, whether they're getting their teeth done, whatever the reason, they have some sedation on board, clipping their ears, that they take that chance to go ahead and clean the sheath. And I think it's great. I think it's super that they jump in and take care of their horse.
And, you know, we were discussing this show yesterday, and I really had no idea there's a group of horses that's cleaned far more frequently than I would have guessed, although it's totally logical. Aaron, can you tell us who those are?
Those are the Anheuser-Busch Clydesdales. They are on public display. And if they drop to urinate in the stall or drop to urinate while they're hitched up or, you know, in line for photo ops or whatever, they need to look clean. So
they always look so happy.
Well, they're very well taken care of. They're definitely a pampered group, that's for sure.
But
they don't need to have any sedation given to them. They're very good. I mean, just brushing their belly and they'll drop and they get cleaned on a weekly basis.
There's so many jokes here. It's the other reason I'm dying over here today. All right. Kristen, you better go on before I get in trouble.
All right. Eric, give us some tips for how to properly clean a horse's sheath. And we have a video on this, too, by the way. I'll post this on the Facebook page.
I'm
right
sure
now.
You do. You always do.
Aim to please.
Well, the number one thing is make sure you're staying out of way of getting hurt. So I always tell my clients to stand at the shoulder of the horse or right at the girth area and lean back, grab the outside sheath and or penis, and gently pull that out towards you. Don't put your head down underneath the horse's belly to look at it. Keep your head off to the side, and you can see it just fine from the side because you do not want to get kicked in the head because there are some horses that find this uncomfortable, even under sedation. And I always tell my clients, don't let go. You know, hang on for dear life and don't let go because once you start putting the warm water, and warm water is preferred over cold, on there to try to clean it off, they may start to retract. So the big thing is staying close to the horse, staying towards the horse's head, have a good handler help you, and keep your head out of the way. Don't put it down underneath the belly or in the firing range of the back leg. The substance you can use, they make some products that are out in the feed stores that you can pick up and use. Mild soap, like Ivory soap, believe it or not, can be used. Soap.
No Ajax. No comment.
No Ajax, no. I wouldn't
even
use.
No comment.
Is that what you'd prefer?
And then we have found some of the horses to be a bit sensitive to the betadine or povidone solutions that are out there, so I don't recommend those either. If anything, we use primarily chlorhexidine solution in the practice. It's a good antibacterial, antifungal, and it's pretty easy on the sheath and the penis. And those are products I would use. If any of those products, you should make sure you rinse thoroughly because all it's going to do is inflame and irritate the tissues if it's left on. So that's why I said once you get a hold of the penis and the sheath, don't let go and make sure you get it all rinsed off well.
Absolutely. And any other tips on what not to do? Other than not getting your head down in there?
Not getting your head down there would be a really good thing. If the horse is really disgruntled about having its sheath cleaned, please do involve your veterinarian and have the horse sedated. There are some pretty nasty horses out there that will hurt somebody.
Oh, hell, just call your vet to begin with and have them do it.
We don't mind. Like I said, we use it for an examination because it's an item that we don't get to examine on a daily basis when we're out there vaccinating or whatever because they usually don't drop unless they're urinating.
Absolutely. And, again, I just posted the video up on the Facebook page where we've got a bit of a how-to there as well and some thoughts and pictures of what a bean can look like if you find one of those. And, you know, we had the stable where I grew up, we didn't actually do a lot of that. I'm kind of with Glenn, I must say, that, you know, my horse was a mare, so I didn't have to worry about it. But we did have a couple of geldings that would occasionally stop and stretch out like they were trying to urinate and just were having trouble, and that may have been one of their issues is that they were uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see some of that, any of that kind of stuff as well.
And you did bring up the good point of the whole sheath cleaning. Getting the bean out is the number one importance besides getting it clean. And the bean is a collection of the dirt, debris, wax, body oils, makes like a waxy Play-Doh type substance that collects in the urethral sinus, which is right around the end of the urethra, so it's at the end of the penis. So it's about as big as a pinky, and you can get your finger up in there and pop the bean out, and that can become very hard over time. And, like I said, put pressure on the urethra so that when they urinate, they spray, or when they urinate, it's painful. So removing that bean at least once a year is primary to do, and I believe on your video you've got a really good description about how to get in there and get the bean out and what it looks like.
I really hate that they use the food name for that particular particle.
Would you rather have them call it the Play-Doh, get the Play-Doh out?
Yeah, something, anything.
Well, see, then you're just ruined for life with kids' toys. I mean, so
hey,
you got to pick something.
I have seen, and I don't know, I maybe seen Jennifer do it, I'm not sure, that people use baby oil. Is that bad?
It will tend to collect more dirt and debris once they're done. So, yeah.
Because you can't really get it off. It's kind of
exactly
sticky, yeah.
Exactly, and they use it to kind of pull some of the dirt and debris off, but they have to remember that it's staying on there and going to collect more dirt and debris. So I'm real big on the mild detergent or what they sell in the feed stores type thing than I am on putting baby oil on.
Jennifer just typed to me, me? Never, yuck, would never use baby oil. I guess I got that wrong.
Well, it's sort of like, you know, it may fix one thing, but like Aaron said, cause another problem. It's sort of like the skin so soft stuff that people like for bugs. I never really thought it worked that well, but it sure did collect a lot of dust when you're playing softball.
Oh yeah.
I often wondered if some people didn't use the baby oil for the perfume effect.
Right?
Especially when those get really smelly, yes, I would agree to that.
They make extremely smelly. Specifically for this chore, people, just go buy them.
Right.
Exactly.
And wash it all off. Be careful to wash it all off, whatever it happens to be. Well, that's pretty much the wrap that we had, although I am a little bit curious, Glenn, though. If you don't call it a bean, what would you want to call it?
Anything but a food product. I'm okay with it. We can make up a name. I'm fine with that.
Make up one.
That's a good one. I'm not sure. I really want to stop thinking about this whole process right now, to be honest with you.
I'm with Christy. I'm kind of dying to know what you'd want to call it, Glenn. So.
All right. Yeah. I'll come up with a good name and post
it on
Facebook. Have a good name, or our listeners, if they have good names and what they would want to call it, they can post on Facebook, too. Just keep it PG.
Yeah, PG would be good. But no, I am really curious because, you know,
yeah.
I mean, I don't mind the name. I mean, I know what it means. I'm used to it, so I don't really have a lot of alternative suggestions. But you have a lot of creativity and a lot of revulsion.
All right, I want
for
you
the,
to think about that the next
name.
Time you have pork and beans.
I'm not a big pork and bean fan, so I'm okay with it.
All right, so now we have to ask Dr. Jones. The topic of conversation of Rocky Mountain oysters came up today in the show, of course, because we're on a theme here. And so have you ever had Rocky Mountain oysters?
Yes, sir, I have.
You have?
Yes, I have.
Oh, you are a disgusting veterinarian.
I had to try them. Come on, I have to try everything once and the fun things twice.
Absolutely.
And?
Tastes like chicken. They're deep fried, so it's really hard to get, you know, a true flavor for them, I would say. But, of course, I was coaxed in by other colleagues that were sitting around at the table, and we all had them as appetizers, and I was coaxed into trying them. So nothing I don't think it's anything I'd reorder again in life.
Because of the taste or
the
concept.
I got a name for it. I think I have a name. How about a clog?
A clog?
A clog.
I hate it when they get wooden shoes stuck up in there.
And on that note, thank you both, Dr. Jones and Christy from thehorse.com. Dr. Jones, if you'd like to give your website address for where people can get veterinary care or a nice heaping order of Rocky Mountain oysters, where would that be?
Well, the oysters I'd have to call Colorado for, but for my website, it's Florida, spelled out, FloridaEquine.com.
FloridaEquine.com. They're opening a restaurant there soon, I hear.
Rocky Mountain oysters.
Yeah, Glenn's going to cut the ribbon.
I'll be down. Bye, Christy from thehorse.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. The things we'll talk about on the morning show.
All in the name of entertainment, Glenn.
All in the name of education. It might have been entertaining for some people. I was squirming over here in my ball the whole time. That'd be my exercise ball, people. I sit on an exercise ball. Just keep that straight.
I'm glad you clarified that for new listeners.
I will be out tomorrow and Friday. I'm heading to Pennsylvania for the annual reunion at the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair. Going to be donning my costume and having a good time. Practicing my improv acting up there. So I will see you all on Monday again. Jamie will be here with some special co-hosts the next 2 days. Jeez, all this talk has me flustered here. She'll be here. What a way to end my week. She'll be here the next 2 days with some special co-hosts. So please tune in tomorrow and Friday morning, 9 a.m. They'll be having a lot of fun at my expense, I am certain. And Jennifer will be here as well. I'm heading on this trip alone to Pennsylvania. So everybody have a great week. Don't forget that all the shows on the Horse Radio Network are coming out for this week. We have some fantastic shows coming out. We talked about the Western Radio Show today. They talked all about horse hotels and some fantastic resources for finding places to keep your horses as you're traveling across the country. And that's why they were talking about the Big Texan, because they actually have a horse hotel there. So you can find that over at Horse Radio Network as well. And don't forget, you can hear all of our shows back to episode 1 at horsesinthemorning.com. That's it, everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you later, Jennifer. You guys have a good rest of the week. And Jamie will be back tomorrow morning. And what does she say? Stay, neuter, and geld?
Yes.
Ooh. After all the conversation today, I'm not even going to put geld in there because I'm kind of feeling uncomfortable for every male in the audience. So for the males out there, see you, Peelers!